was thinking, though, that it was circumstances were being ordered for the first coming of our Lord. It's interesting that he is behind the scenes orchestrating all that's happening to fulfill his will. And I believe the same thing's happened today in time.
I'd like to ask a question. In verse 9, it speaks about the Lord, angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were very much afraid. Isn't this the angel, isn't it? We know that the Lord Jesus, the one who's going to be born, but is the angel of the Lord Jesus, or what is it? I mean, who's the angel, I should say?
We've seen that this would be the same one who brought messages before this, Gabriel, bringing this message to the shepherds. The angel brought the message to Mary, Gabriel did. So that's who this would seem to be, Gabriel.
It's not the angel of the Lord, it's an angel of the Lord. So it's one of the messengers.
I was just wondering, when we consider this, these few individuals that some have been mentioned by name already, and I was just thinking of the period of time when God had not spoken to them. We know from the book of Malachi to this time there was about 400-year period where God was silent with them, and yet they were ever so much still looking forward to the day when the Lord Jesus would appear. And just if we can apply that to ourselves for a minute, I was thinking about the verse when it says that today he speaks to us in the person of Son. So we have the Lord Jesus speaking to us today. We have the Spirit of God who gives us the unction. They didn't have that. And yet here we're ones that were so prepared and we're looking forward to that day. And so how much more responsible that would make us when we realize that we have the Lord speaking to us today. We have the Spirit of God. We have the complete Word of God. They were ones that didn't have any of those three things, and yet their hearts were so prepared and looking for that one that would come and who would appear without sin unto salvation. We know that applies when he came the second time, but certainly in his first time, he came also without sin to seek and to save that which was lost, as we mentioned already. So just wondering how much more responsible that would make us when we recognize what we have today to help us as we wait upon the coming of the Lord.
I think it's important to realize that God will always have remnant character of things. He has that today. He had that in those days. And that remnant character comes out from those in the book of Malachi. Because if you read the end of Malachi, what you have is that there are those that feared Jehovah and spoke often one to another. And Jehovah observed it and heard. So there is always that in the... And if you read the entire book of Malachi, you'll see that it was a period of absolute decline. But there were those who found a central interest, God's interest. And that's the remnant character that comes over into the book of Luke. You've got, even though you've got Zacharias, a priest who is dumb, but you've got the Marys, you've got the Elizabeths, you've got the Simeon, you've got Anna. There's all that is there that God orchestrated and placed in that particular setting so that his interests might be caught and the glory of God might be known.
Mm-hmm. We have those who are mentioned in chapter 1 and verse 65. It says, "And fear came on all that dwelt round about them," that is around Zacharias and Elizabeth. "Fear came on all that dwelt around about them, and these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea, and all that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him." But there was that remnant that extends even beyond what our brother Bassam mentioned, who were seemingly waiting. And it's interesting to me, the hill country would be a place of elevation, and Judah would speak of praise. And
think the hill country is the atmosphere of priestly domain, priestly exercise. Now, that's the point to which Mary went, up to that elevation. And if you read the conversation that transpired between Mary and Elizabeth, it's a wonderful conversation of spiritual elevation. It's a place where the heart gets lifted up and enveloped with the glory of what was before them. And it's wonderful that God will bring us into that atmosphere even as we contemplate the greatness of His glory.
I just want to mention, you mentioned about there will always be remnant condition. But just to look at Zacharias, that in remnant condition, what we have is not so much Zacharias being dumb, but it is what we have at the end of chapter 1. That Zacharias, that he was filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord, God of Jehovah," and so forth. So under remnant condition, when the Lord Jesus Christ has an effect, it is not so much that Zacharias is dumb. That shows the decline that we have in Malachi. But when we come to the end, which goes now into chapter 2, what we have is truly what remnant condition will bring forth. It will be where there is the filling of the Holy Spirit, where there is the prophesying, where their glory is brought to God, where the Lord Jesus Christ has such effect upon those who are in remnant in the condition there, and also for us today, that the mouth will open and speak, and the heart will go out to Him.
Are we in remnant conditions today? I'm only asking the question.
I think our brother Daisley already answered that. But we are, yes. But isn't that true, though, throughout history, even in the 2 Timothy?
What I've observed, and I'm sure others also, today, and it's so true among all of us, I'm not picking it on young people at this point, but there's a lack of study and a lack of reading. Many do not read today. I know we all have computers and things that can help us, but am I studying the Word of God? And if I don't study the Word, then what am I learning? I will not learn about the Lord Jesus by listening alone. Each one of us who have faith, have that responsibility to learn more of Him. I can't follow someone I don't really know. And the way I get to know the Lord is to know His Word. He has left us this entire book, all of it, not just the portions we're studying today, but all of it for our learning. And we are blessed. We have so much more knowledge than these few that we have mentioned who are expecting the first advent of the Lord. We have so much more in knowledge because we can look back. Now, the question for my heart is, am I neglecting the Scriptures? We know what 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us. Many of us know that verse by heart. It begins with study, or as some translations say, be diligent. Be diligent, study. Know the Word of God. If you know the Scriptures, you'll be drawn to the Lord, and you'll be a blessing to others, and you'll live a more godly life, because you'll know what pleases Him. You know, a sign of love is that we want to please the other party that we love. That's one of the signs. Well, if I love the Lord, I surely want to please Him. And I'm sure that's the desire of our hearts. And we do that by learning more of Him from the Scriptures.